Welcome to the Middle Age-ish Podcast, authentically and unapologetically keeping it real, discussing all things middle age-ish, a time when metabolism slows and confidence grows. Join fashion and fitness entrepreneur Ashley Badosky, former Celtic woman and founder of the Lisa Kelly Voice Academy, Lisa Kelly, licensed psychologist and mental health expert, Dr. Pam Wright, and highly sought-after cosmetic injector and board-certified nurse practitioner, Trisha Kennedy Roman. Join your hosts on the journey of middle age-ish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Middle Age-ish Podcast. I'm Trisha Kennedy Roman, and I'm joined here today with my co-host, Ashley Badosky, Lisa Kelly, and Dr. Pam Wright. And we are joined today with Michelle Rowell. She is a nurse practitioner who works in weight loss surgery, and she is also a CrossFitter, and she has her own clothing line, Ageless. She's got her shirt on right now.
I love it.
Super cool clothing line. Mm-hmm.
So I love that.
Not only a fit mom, mm-hmm. but an entrepreneur mom with her workout clothing line. So welcome to Middle Ages, Michelle. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Kind of beclipped. Nobody's ever called me an entrepreneur.
Well, you have. Oh my gosh, seriously? Because you absolutely are. Mm-hmm. That's like startling that no one has said that.
Wow, that's really cool to be called that.
Well, I love that you took a play on your middle age with us, and I love that you took a play. You know, it was funny, the whole Middle Age-ish podcast, I'll give my son credit, Trace, he one day called me middle age, and then I said, I'm not middle age. He's like, well, ish, which I really was middle age, but I was like,
I love that.
So I had the name Middle Age-ish before I figured out what to do with the name. So I love your play on the age. So what made you decide on a clothing line? And I love the name, obviously.
So I started CrossFit in December, will be 11 years ago. And my IG handle was called Middle Age CrossFitter because I started when I was 45. Wow. But anyway, that was my IG handle. And it was a way that I could kind of connect with other CrossFitters. And so there's another lady that has a clothing line that's kind of geared for older women, but the name of her clothing line didn't really align with kind of the way I felt, although I love her clothes. So I was like, gosh, I need to make something for middle-agers. And so it originally was going to be called Middle-Aged CrossFitter Apparel, like Mac Apparel. But my son, just like your son, one day was like, Mom, why don't you just call it Ageless Athletics? Because I had been thinking, trying to think of a word that described how I wanted to make people feel when they were working out as middle-agers, because I wanted us to have kind of a community of people that could come together and represent middle age or aging, I should say, strong. Mm-hmm. So when he said that, I was like, bingo, that's what I'm going to call it. And plus, you can't use CrossFit or any derivative of that because it's trademarked.
Right.
So that's kind of how it came about. And so I made a shirt that said Ageless, and it had like a kettlebell in the middle of the back of it with wings. And so I just was like, I'm just going to make 25 of these and see how they do. And I just like showed them on social media in March of 2020, which was like right before COVID. They shut us down in Georgia for COVID. And I sold out in 24 hours.
Wow. And so I was like, that's amazing.
And what was really cool was that people who were not middle-aged were buying them, like the younger 20 and 30 year olds at my gym bought them. So of course, at first it was a lot of friends and family, but I was also part of something called WOD Prep Masters, which is a group, a community of masters age CrossFitters. And we had a Facebook page. So I had somebody from Norway by Japan. And so I was like, oh, you know, this resonates with people. And they want to be part of a community of other masters CrossFitters who are trying to age strong and who feel like we are never too old to be healthy, fit, and strong. So it was just kind of a desire to make a community. And plus, I like clothes. And
there's nothing like wrong with that. Yes.
Yeah.
At all.
So I wanted some cute clothes that represented us as, you know, folks that are middle-aged CrossFitters. So that's kind of.
So how did you get into CrossFit? I know people have that misnomer. I think that it's like super hard, like the hardest fitness level that you can possibly do. But a lot of clients I have that do it love it. And they're like, really, you're really against yourself. Like you're trying to beat your own time or push yourself to your own level. Correct. It's not really competitive with other people. So how did you get into it? And what do you like about it?
I've always kind of been into fitness. I did aerobics. I can remember doing Richard Simmons at home.
Oh, yes.
But when I was 16, I started going to aerobics locally. And I've just always kind of done some form of like working out. Although I don't I never considered myself an athlete, and I didn't do athletic stuff when I was in high school or anything. We were musicians. But I started running regularly in November of 2012. I ran a full marathon in Savannah. And afterwards, I was like, okay, what's next? Because kind of like after you do a marathon, you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, I've done it. Back then, I don't think they had ultra marathons. Oh, if they did, I didn't know about them. Yeah, I know. Now there's more. So I started looking through Pinterest one night. Pinterest had just come out, or I had just gotten on it. And I saw this woman, and she was called a CrossFit woman. I looked at it, and I was like, I want to look like that. Like, how do I look like that? So I was kind of looking into it. And like the next week, 3 minutes from my house, a CrossFit opened. So I went and visited the CrossFit. And while I was there, the guy did like a fitness test on me. And he was like, you have no muscle at all. And I was like, what?
Like, I just ran a marathon.
Seriously. Well, guess what? I was just a fat runner. You know, I mean, I was not overweight, but maybe like 10 or 15 pounds overweight. And I had no muscle because running doesn't give you muscle. Running burns muscle, right? So anyway, I basically failed that fitness test. And so I immediately started going to that CrossFit. And I started it 3 times a week. I bought a little punch card for 10 visits. I went home and talked to my husband. It's, you know, it's $100 a month. You know, this is a lot. And he was like, sure. And so anyway, I did it and I fell in love with it. I just kept going back. And then that turned into 1 year, then in 2 years. And then I had started having family and friends start to come with me. And it's amazing because it is a mixture of cardio and like Olympic weightlifting and weightlifting. And they program it in such a way that CrossFitters kind of get a certain physique. Like I can see somebody and I can kind of tell if they're a CrossFitter versus a bodybuilder.
So true.
A powerlifter or whatever. So that's kind of how I got into it. I was a runner. And then I realized like from that little fitness test that that guy did that, oh, I need to be lifting weights. And boy, was that a game changer as far as the way I looked and my health. It's just amazing. I love it.
So you're looking at us thinking none of you guys do CrossFit.
Yeah. So you probably already know that we are not CrossFitters.
That's okay. Everybody has their own thing.
That
and my job, I feel like as owner and CEO of Ageless Athletics is to encourage middle-aged athletes in whatever they want to do.
Whatever works.
Am I partial to CrossFit? Of course.
Right.
But if you want to run, but I feel like for as women and being in the healthcare field as a nurse practitioner and working with weight loss surgery patients, people totally miss out on the fact that we need to lift weights. When you work at a hospital every day, like I do, I round on patients and I look into people's rooms as I'm walking down the hall and I can see all these people that are our age and older, they have no muscle. And when they get sick, they have nothing to fall back on and their muscles just atrophy. If you've ever watched your parent, you know, and our parents, most of our parents didn't lift weights. Mine didn't. Then that's kind of the crucial aspect of CrossFit that really made the difference. You get the cardio aspect like running or biking or whatever, plus that weightlifting.
You know, we've had Dr. Ram McLean and Dr. Alina Zinkoff, both of them really stress that. And
you've got to build muscle.
Yeah, you've got to build muscle. And especially protein. As you're older.
Yeah, protein and muscle.
The other thing is my company is called Ageless Athletics, and I really do feel I'm 56. And I feel like weightlifting and CrossFit and especially weightlifting is the fountain of youth. If you lift weights, most people tend to look younger. If they lift weights, women have better bone density. So there's just a lot of aspects of CrossFit that it's just a game changer. That's all I can tell you.
I work in plastic surgery, and I can tell you that if everyone looks like you at 56 when you're CrossFit, then I would be out of business because I cannot believe what you just said your age is because you do not look anywhere near that age.
Thank you. But like if you look closely, I mean, you know, I don't do Botox or anything like that, and I don't have a problem with it, people doing it. It's just that I'm afraid I would like it.
Addicted.
So I think I would, this is probably a better and less expensive alternative. I don't know. Everybody has different opinions on that.
Right.
There's a CrossFit studio beside the studio that I teach in. And it's amazing because I get to see these women when they start off on their very first, you know, their first days. And they're doing a run around the car park and you could see them, you know, they're struggling so much on the first day. But it's amazing how quickly that transformation happens and how quickly their bodies tune up to it. It's just fascinating to watch.
Yes. Yeah. I remember being 6 months into it and somebody's telling me, wow, you're starting to look different, you know? And there's a lot of other things that come into play. Nutrition is really important. I mean, I try to, even on my Instagram page, a lot of times I try to show kind of what I'm eating, and I'm not perfect with my diet. There is nobody that is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you got to be real.
Right. You just, the big thing is to be consistent with your diet and consistent with working out. And that's the hard part is a lot of people are like, I don't have time, but you just have to find the time and what works for you. And there's not one size that fits all with working out or owning a business, doing a podcast, whatever. So everybody has their own way of doing things.
What's your best booty exercise? Everything drops. How do you keep them?
Let's just get real right here.
CrossFitters all have their butts they got good booties.
Mm-hmm. It's
got
to be squats and lunges.
Yeah, squats, but like glute bridges, hip thrust. That's not even really CrossFit-y. Mm. That's more of a, but squats, yes. And, you know, any sort of leg work is probably going to help in that area. I'm not a coach. I just go every day except for Sunday.
You go every day.
Oh my goodness.
6 days a week.
Yeah. And some days are not as, it is not intense every day. It has definitely evolved from when it started back in 2000, but it's definitely evolved and a lot of people are afraid of it, but honestly, everybody starts as a baby in CrossFit.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I could talk about CrossFit.
I have a question because I, as a psychologist, I have a lot of people who are not happy with their weight, their shape, you know, who they are, their body size, all those things. And they all want to work out and exercise, but they're like walking into a CrossFit gym, any gym would be overwhelming because they know they're not going to be able to be at the standards of people there. So what do you say to people who are afraid just to like take that first step and what should they do?
So usually any CrossFit gym that I've ever been to, even if I like go visit others, like when I'm on vacation and I go to another gym, there's always one person there that's usually very welcoming typically. And I'm kind of that person in our gym. A lot of times if there's somebody new, the owner of the gym will say, you can work out with Michelle, or she'll choose somebody who's kind of a gentler kind of person. I mean, there are very competitive people there and deservedly so. They're great athletes or whatever. But I jokingly call myself a remedial CrossFitter because I scale a lot of the workouts and that kind of thing. So there's always going to be somebody who will welcome you to CrossFit if it's a true good CrossFit box. We don't call them studios or gyms. It's called a box because literally that's what it is. It's like a warehouse. And so, or typically it is. Just the first step is always to take the first step.
That's always the scariest.
Right. And I will tell you, you're going to be intimidated.
Right.
I mean, I was intimidated and I had been running for years. I had always worked out. I used to teach aerobics at Gold's Gym. I used to teach step aerobics. I was a certified Reebok step instructor. And, you know, it is intimidating, but CrossFit has evolved so much over the years, in my opinion, that it's just such an amazing community of people. It's just like you guys, like, you know, you have three other people besides yourself that you can communicate with. You guys understand each other. You understand what it's like to do a podcast together, the ups and downs of that. It's the same thing with working out, is you're going through that workout together. If somebody is behind, and a lot of times I'm the oldest person in the class, right? So I'm going to be a little bit slower than somebody who's 20, right? Mm-hmm. So they will, if you're the last one, they will cheer you on until you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Or until that buzzer goes off or whatever. So, and that is a great feeling to have that community and people, and it just makes you want to come back. You're like, I hate this. God, this is terrible while I'm doing it, but the results are amazing and the community is fantastic. I mean, it is hard, but everything is scalable. A new person can always walk in and you'll start with a barbell or dumbbell, light dumbbells. Nobody's going to make you at a good gym. Nobody's going to just like throw you to the wolves.
Right.
So I'm a nurse practitioner, as are you. What led you to weight loss surgery? Have you been in that the whole time, or what did you do?
So I've been a nurse for 30 years and I've been a nurse practitioner for December will be 18 years. It's kind of interesting. I've had several different jobs, but the very first job I ever had was a trauma nurse practitioner. I work at a level one trauma center in Macon, Georgia. There's only like four in the state. So I was trauma nurse practitioner because I had worked in the ER and then transitioned, went to school while I was working there and then transitioned to that job because I was kind of, you know, just natural transition because I already worked in it. So one of the interns, which is a first year resident. Okay. So that's somebody that's gotten their undergrad, gone to medical school, and now they are going to learn their mm-hmm. specialty. And in surgery, it is a 5-year residency. And the very first year you are called an intern. Okay. So I had just been hired as a nurse practitioner. And then one of the interns, Dr. Danny Vaughn, this was his first year in surgery. So we worked together that year. And I worked with just a whole group of residents. And so anyway, later on, I went and moved on to another job. He finished out his residency. And I guess it was about like 7 years later or so, he moved back to this area after he did a fellowship after his residency. So he was like 33 by the time, you know, he finished everything. And he called a friend of mine and talked to a friend of mine and said, hey, I'm trying to remember this nurse practitioner that I used to work with. Her name was Michelle. She was really good. And she was like, are you talking about Michelle Rowell? She was like, that's my best friend. And he was like, yes. And so he called me up and just said, hey, would you like to come work with me? I'm going to start a bariatric surgery program mm-hmm. in Macon. And so that's how it all started. And I was ready to kind of move on. I was actually working at a pain clinic at the time. And that was just a hard job because it's hard to help people get better that are mm-hmm. in chronic pain. Yeah, so I was ready to try something different. So that's how I got into weight loss surgery. So we started that program together from the beginning, along with another surgeon, Dr. Perel, Rob Perel. And so we've been together since the get-go, and now we're 10 years into it. So that was in May of 2013. And I had just started CrossFit not long before then. So I actually look different now than I did back then mm-hmm. when we started the program together. I've lost weight and changed my physique somewhat. So I think it all kind of ties together. What I do with kind of what my personal convictions are. I don't know how you feel about this being a nurse practitioner. My personal conviction is that I should live the lifestyle that I expect my patients to lead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, no judgment or anything.
Absolutely.
You know, doctors or nurse practitioners that are overweight. I'm not judging you, but I'm just telling you, if I'm going to tell somebody that they need to lose weight, I better not be overweight and I better be living the life.
Well, see, as someone middle age, I have it really good because I work in plastic surgery. So I will totally live that life right now. I will do everything I want you to do.
Because, I know who to call now I'm ready to.
So I have no problem living that life.
Yeah. So with what you do, and I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast on several different episodes, just like as we get older, you know, weight doesn't come off like it used to. Your body completely changes. What qualifies someone for services like this, for the weight loss surgery, and like talk us kind of through what that looks like.
So you typically, most weight loss surgery patients have to be at least 80 to 100 pounds overweight. You have to have mm-hmm. a body mass index of 35 or greater.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you don't have any comorbidities, you can just have a BMI of 40, but you do have to typically have like diabetes, hypertension,
mm-hmm. okay.
sleep apnea, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that is very prevalent in the South, right? At least
it's the fried food
of people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And we have just a general lack of knowledge. I don't know why people do, but have a general lack of knowledge of nutrition here. And people mm-hmm. do not understand that it is 85% nutrition and 15% exercise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to have weight loss surgery, you have to have a BMI of 35, comorbidities. Obviously, your insurance has to cover it. Now, that you know, there are self-pay options, mm-hmm. but that's the basic requirement.
Is it kind of, when you go for surgery, is it kind of like the, and I don't, I'm, this is probably not the right way to say it, but like the last option? Or do you guys try and coach through, like, have they tried to work, you know, with their weight and eat better and change their lifestyle and get a little bit more active?
So insurance requires that they do certain things. Like a lot of insurances require that they have 3 to 6 months of what we call medically supervised weight loss, where they try to lose weight on their mm-hmm. own, somewhat of a stall tactic, but it's also, you know, that's what they require. So yes, they, you know, when they come to us, typically they know that this is kind of last resort. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, when I try to help them choose the best surgery for them, I tell them, like, I feel like this is kind of a last resort to you know, or last ditch effort to lose weight. if you're going to do this, you need to maximize it. And you need to listen to us when we try to guide you on what surgery you need. Because we've been doing it a long time. Like, we're not going to just, and as a nurse practitioner, you work with plastics. You're not going to guide somebody on the wrong procedure or surgery to help them look better. You know, we know we're the experts because a lot of people, you know, there's lots of people talking, oh, I've heard terrible things about gastric bypass, blah, blah, blah. But the surgery's come a long way. We do it laparoscopically now. And that was a big game changer for weight loss surgery as well. So it's one night hospital stay. It's, you know, still big surgery, but, you know, everything's changed since COVID and it's a shorter hospital stay. Patients are educated prior to surgery. They, you know, it takes them 3 to 6 months to get to surgery. So they meet with our dietitian. We have a registered dietitian and they see them after surgery as well. So, you know, we want them to be our patient for life. So we have a very long relationship with
I don't know if y'all do that at your practice, but I actually do bariatric consultations and testing for individuals who go through the surgery because there's such a big psychological component, obviously, and like so much has to change in their life. It's not just like a quick fix and then you have the surgery and suddenly, you know, things are like better in your life. There's so much to go through and so many different formats versus, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone else, like who does the food and who, you know, like all these different things. So as you change, they kind of have to change too. And so the psychological part is really important.
Yeah, we require a site clearance and that is a practice requirement because some of the insurances don't require it.
Right.
But we require it.
It's important. So I feel like.
And we have a good relationship with our psychologists and psychiatrists. And so, very in-depth, you know, lots of pages for them to fill out and lots of, I actually kind of enjoy reading the psych evals. So.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because that's where it comes out. Like they've tried, you know, everything, all the different diets, Weight Watchers, you know, ketosis, like everything. They've just been through so much and they've got all these medical issues. But, you know, it's really getting them to like know that, you know, you've got that year kind of span and you have to lose that weight, but then your stomach can obviously, you know, expand again. So it's really like making lifestyle changes, like what you're saying and doing CrossFit and 85% of what you eat is what you look like.
Yeah, I mean, it's nutrition is such a big part of it. And that's another thing, like with ageless, I want to show people that you can age, not, and y'all were very kind making, you know, thank you for compliments, but that's really not what I want. I want people to know that you can age healthy and strong and fit. It's not so much a matter of what you look like, although aesthetics are a nice side effect of working out and eating healthy. But you just want to be healthy, right? Like, guys, I go to work and there's 30-year-olds that are on, you know, this long list of medicines. And I'm just like, how did we come to this? Right. You know? And I personally feel like your health is your own responsibility. So, you know, I tell patients, like, you know, if you have this surgery, there is so much patient responsibility with the surgery. It's not like going and having your gallbladder out where you have your gallbladder out and come back and see the surgeon once and that's it. And, you know, it's really more the surgeon's responsibility. This is your responsibility once we give you the tool, because that's what it is, right?
Commitment.
It's a tool. You know, you still are going to have to make those lifestyle changes that probably you should have made before surgery. You know what I mean? But when you weigh 500 pounds, it is very daunting to have to think that I've got to lose 350 pounds. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I struggle, you know, postmenopausal, even being 15 pounds overweight. I don't like it, you know? And, you know, we all have seasons in our life where we're up and down, you know, that's just part of life. Nobody's going to be perfect weight all the time.
Yeah. And breaking sometimes that emotional component with food, there's such an emotional... You know, it can be like alcohol, you know, and emotions, but food, it can be very, you know, just like a coping mechanism that's just not healthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's so many components to the obesity epidemic, you know.
And the food dependency is so much harder because there's food around you all the time.
Everything is so easily available.
Absolutely. And easy and cheap. So the bad food is really cheap. The good food is expensive. It's like, you know, it's very hard for people.
I tell this to patients all the time. You know, we live in a society where we get our food through a window. And I've told a patient today, I said, you need to make it your goal not to go through a window for a year. You need to make your food at home. You need to eat your food at your desk at work so you're not exposed to whatever's brought into the office. And you need to, you know, you have to change your lifestyle. But America, we're so fortunate. But at the same time, the flip side of that is, you know, the food is hyper palatable at restaurants and not nutrient dense at all. So we think we don't like things like cottage cheese and Greek yogurt because they're not super hyper palatable, yet they're so nutritious and vegetables and fruit. So it's just a lot of education and redirection and teaching people you can be in control of your health. Yeah. And a lot of it is nutrition and a lot of it is working out. And, you know, that's how you can be ageless. Mm-hmm. All of my shirts, by the way, with my company have a play on the word age. And I think that's kind of what makes them kind of fun. And anybody that CrossFits or, you know, I've told patients actually that have started exercising that are middle-aged, like, hey, you know, go get you some fun clothes so that you feel good when you're working out because everybody is kind of feel self-conscious, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to look good when I work out and I want my patients to look good when they work out and to feel good. So I tell them, go get some clothes that you like. You want to feel good about yourself when you're working out. So that's another aspect of working with patients and kind of knowing what people need. Because people, like you were saying earlier, people are afraid to walk into gyms. They're intimidated. But everybody has to start somewhere.
Yep.
Well, I love ageless. I love the meaning behind that because I think, you know, we've talked a lot about, especially at this point in our lives, a lot of times, you know, if you've had children or not, even if you have put your time in your career, you kind of have given to something else or someone else and you've kind of let yourself fall behind. And so it's, I think it's very intimidating when you hit middle age, if you have not been taking care of yourself to jump into, you know, fitness or whatever, but just hearing ageless and thinking, you know, age, fitness doesn't have an age limit. It's never too late. Obviously it's better to start when you're young and to grow up with fitness. But I think that, you know, just because you're in your 40s, your 50s, and you've not been doing anything to obviously with health conscious in mind though, but it's never too late to get yourself healthy.
That's exactly it. You're never too old to be healthy, fit, and strong. That's my slogan is hashtag never too old. Mm-hmm. I feel kind of like my spiritual gift, if you guys believe in that, is that I'm an encourager by nature. And I am at my happy place when I'm at CrossFit. And I feel like I can encourage people. And when I can tell people that are our age that, hey, you can come into the gym. Like you need to come into a gym and start lifting weights, but I'll be your friend. So you won't be alone and you can work out with me if you want, you know, that's what I want to be as a nurse practitioner, as a business owner, entrepreneur, as a CrossFitter, you know,
that's amazing.
I love it. So do you have a website for your ageless clothing line?
Yes. It's shopagelessathletics.com.
Love it.
That's great.
Maybe and then I have an IG page for Ageless Athletics and then one for Middle Age CrossFitter.
Awesome. Maybe if I buy the clothing, I'll start working out. Yes.
I do believe that if you look cute, you work out better.
Oh, it's so
Yes. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
You are so right. It's important to I don't know. For me, it's important to aesthetics are a little bit important to me.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I was like, I think, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that.
It's a motivator. I mean, it is. It's like motivating. And I think that you use what was important to you, but you use that to help and encourage other people, which is, I think, what we're meant to do. If that's your gift, then do that.
And that's because and then it comes across as very authentic. Mm-hmm. I think especially
being real.
At our age, we can pick out someone who is doing something just for the money or the fame or whatever. And when you can be just authentic and real with your encouragement and your words and whatever, it does shine through. And that's why, you know, that it matters to those that are getting started and whatever. So
true.
Well, I love your philosophies as a healthcare practitioner. I love your encouragement as being someone who definitely does not look their age, by the way, but who's really into fitness, even at this age. And I love the theme of your clothing line. I think it's awesome. I love Ageless. So we really appreciate your time.
Yes. And thank you so much.
I'm excited to go on your
website. I'm honored to be here.
Well, you're definitely an entrepreneur, but also a great encourager. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you. Keep doing what you do.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And I'll see you at the box soon.
Yes. thank you.
Bye.
She was fun.
Oh, she was
lovely.
Yeah.
So have you ever done, has anyone ever gone into a CrossFit?
I have.
Gosh, no.
Have you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't. I have like pictures of like, or thoughts of people like pushing tires. You know how you get the big tire?
You flip them,
and you flip them.
Yeah,
and,
But you feel so cool doing it. Yeah. No, I've done it. I mean, I've done it a couple, like we know I'm not a workouter, but I did feel cool a couple times I went.
That you walked in.
Yeah, that I walked in. That I was walking out the door and people saw me and thought she CrossFits.
I have to stick with bar.
I kind of feel with bar as well, though. It's your body weight. So it's
right, like you're using.
You're using weight all the time.
Actually, I was really dumb today with the patient, but I was talking to them and I said something about you have Pure Bar and like, you know, Pilates. And she's like, Pure Bar and Pilates. Isn't I'm so ignorant with that. I don't know what Pilates and Pure Bar, like what's the difference?
It isn't. I mean, there's some aspects, especially like when they first, like there is some aspects of Pilates. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't use the reformer machines.
No.
But there is movement that are similar if you did Pilates. Now, is it a Pilates? No, it is. It's a really good, I feel, kind of a combination, obviously, of bar, but yoga and Pilates. Mm-hmm. But it's just snippets of those put into the bar routine.
You'd love it.
I want to do it really bad. I just wish that I didn't live so far away.
Yeah. Do you know what? Why I love it is because it's different every single class.
Yeah.
So you don't get bored. It's the same layout, but it's different exercises. Every time I go, it's very rare. Although I've done fire hydrants more than I ever want to do them. But apart from that, it's always different. So you don't, your muscles kind of change. You do different
kinds of things. So it's a fire hydrant like what I picture.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. It is not attractive
and
at all.
And it's not fun.
Now, anytime they say to me, you were going to get on the floor, I'm like, oh.
Or the fetal with the band.
I can't do this. I'm useless at those, putting my foot out in front. Yeah, I can't do anything that involves me being on the floor.
I mean, it's amazing because the workout is not easy. And I know people think it is. They're like, oh, my God, this little bar class. It is not. But when you're listening to the most amazing music, you actually can start to zone out. And so, because it's music driven,
like that, sing like the whole way through the class, the whole way through the class,
sing out loud. People probably just go to the class.
They can't hear me. It's like it's so loud.
It's so loud, and no one's looking at anyone else because you don't understand it until you're in it. But you're so focused on getting through a 10 count. I literally joke. I'm like, I could be taking class next to Big Bird, and I would never know.
No,
right.
I mean, I could have a unicorn. I could have a leprechaun.
Although that would get you.
Yeah, you would know. I think I might.
You would crack up.
I might. But I have no idea who's standing next to me in class.
It's very individual, which is why I like it, because there's no small talk. Like, you can obviously, there's, you know, great chat before or after the class.
Right.
But during the class, there's no small talk. It's just go in, do your job, and leave.
Yep. Your brain literally goes like, it takes you to, and that's what we hear all the time is like, if someone will come in and they've been so stressed and they're just like, this is what I need, because you literally, like, you just check out for 50 to 55 minutes.
You really do. I said that to Scott as well, because I'm like, I'm terrible. I can't do yoga. I cannot switch off. So my brain doesn't stop unless I'm going to bed. My brain doesn't stop. But because I have to focus so much on what I'm doing in bar,
it goes fast.
I just switch off everything else. If I'm worried or I'm stressed, I don't even think about it because I'm focusing on this. And the 50 minutes does. Now, the first few times, the 50 minutes was very long.
You know, my best workout class was actually Scott.
Oh.
I love the adult Irish dance because I love it. If I'm dancing to work out.
We did that together.
Okay, can I just tell you something?
I
totally did not think that you were talking about her, Scott. I thought you were talking about your Scott. And I was like, damn.
Trisha's best workout was with my husband.
I was like, I thought she was talking about Scott. And I was like, okay, well, if we want to pivot, let's pivot.
Are we going into detail or what?
When you said Irish, I still was like, wait, her Scott. Yeah, I thought you were talking about your workout.
That actually sounds worse than when you said that her best workout was with her Scott.
Lisa Scott had an Irish dance class.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Oh my God, I just.
And we did that together. So it was good, actually.
Pam,
it was amazing. I did.
Yes, I know. He still talks about his wonderful ladies.
It was so fun, though.
When you're learning like a routine or combo and you just have to focus on that, you don't really feel like you're working out.
I kicked my butt.
It was good.
Yeah, I mean, I never Irish dance. I dance, but Irish dance, like the whole, like the fast choreography, like
I mean,
it's
holy cow.
Kind of mind blown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still can't do it. Yeah. Worst Irish dancer.
I don't believe that.
Oh, no, I can't. No, it's not something that's
okay,
just,
but you know what? You know, let's be super
in
honest
your water
with Lisa. Okay.
It's got to be in the
I
water.
I mean, she's genetics such an amazing. Okay. That's all you need to be good at.
Yeah, yep. You can't like get everything.
I mean, you cannot be. I mean, seriously, Lisa. I mean, I'm
like people who I was in school with, you know, when they go, oh, you were in Riverdance. I didn't know you Irish danced. I'm like, No,
I did an Irish dance. Yes. I was obviously there as a singer. No. Why would I be there as a dancer?
Yes.
Yeah, funny. No, you can only be good at one. I mean,
okay, that's fine. I'll take the singing. I'll take the singing.
Not to mention every photo she takes is good, which is just stinking.
Yes, disgusting.
No, you should see the Instagram ones my daughter posted today. I was like, that's disgusting.
No.
I don't even.
I bet they're good.
I'm not on Instagram, so it's fine.
I don't believe that at all.
No. I've never seen a bad picture.
Oh, no. There's
and you were beautiful. No, you look beautiful.
Yes, I can't wait to see you in December.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yay.
I mean, if you want to give us a sneak peek, you know, just shoot it.
I didn't. Nobody recorded us. No, I've no.
You are kidding.
Yeah, no, Ellie.
Okay, see, this is why you need to have an entourage go with you.
I know.
Yes.
Well, it's so funny. I brought Ellie and Harry, my two youngest kids came with me. So Ellie has seen me on stage. Harry hasn't really seen me on stage much. Harry bawled his eyes out through both performances.
Oh my goodness.
Really?
No, but I will say, Lisa, I've cried watching Lisa sing.
It is magical.
It's angelic. Like, I've cried at her concert.
But that's so sweet. He cried.
He cried. He did. Now, I'm not sure if it was for me or for Chloe because he has like a big crush on Chloe. So, who knows?
Aww.
Yeah. So, he was so overwhelmed. It was actually, it was so sweet.
It was for you. God.
But that's why nobody was allowed to record. Either.
You know what? That actually makes sense because it would get leaked.
I don't even think there was photos for like.
No, I totally understand.
Instead, you should do the Saturday Night Live thing. That could be our preview.
I will say
that could be our preview.
We will post the Saturday
and
Night
then
Live.
And then we'll post the
real
thing.
Yes, we will.
We should do our own Celtic Woman skit. That would be
fun. We should.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
with Ashley and I singing, it would be. Yes. That would. I don't know if that
would. We all know how angelic my voice is. And
I don't know
so,
if it would be
you know what, Trisha, I really feel that, I mean, I just don't know if Lisa could compete with me.
This is true.
I would never want to overshadow.
Listen, you'll be going back for the 30th reunion.
Yes.
Oh my God, all technology would break as soon as I started.
Ashley should sing, Trisha should dance, and I'll just be the leprechaun in the corner. It's just like cheering everyone on.
We'll give you a fiddle. We'll give you a fiddle.
Yes, I'll have a fiddle. I'll be great.
Yes.
Yes.
We've just jumped all over the place.
Yes, it's nice.
It's crazy. I mean, hey, it's like, squirrel.
But it's fun. Thank you all for joining us.
I know. Thanks, you guys. And hey, again, cheers.
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 Thank you for joining the ladies of the Middle Age-ish podcast as they journey through the ups and downs of this not young, but definitely not old season of life. To hear past episodes or make suggestions for future episodes, visit www.middleageish.com. That's www.middleageish.com. You can follow along on social media at Middle Age-ish. Also, if you have a moment to leave a review, rate, and subscribe, that helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Once again, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the Middle Age-ish Podcast.